to dilemma miners, and does that extend from dilemma miners? Everyone agrees it doesn't exist for dilemma fossils, but in dilemma miners, does that extend into questions about Gitting? That is a question. Does it extend to things like Gitting? Is that in the category of dilemma miners, or is it in the category of something much more serious? And I suppose it would depend on what the issue is with the Gitting. Is it the money, or is it the actual circumstances of the get, etc., etc., etc.? So there is a room there. There's a room based on the Rambam to say, look, there's a possibility that this could be entertained. Another aspect of it, I'm not deciding any more time off. In practice, most Bartidim don't use a polygraph. They won't allow the polygraph to be used, except one thing they discuss, right? And this is also to do with it's on page 3, which says that Kate said both Gid has aid of submission at Sanhedrin, yeah, Machnisin Isa on the Cheddar, we put the aid in a room, Kuma Aimin Aleya, and you give them, like, you scare the witnesses. Yeah? Very, very interesting. You can scare somebody so much that they will only want to tell the truth, or they'll pull back and say what I said wasn't actually true. Okay, it's very, very interesting, just on a side point, I'm very interested in the story of Bletchley Park, where they used to crack the codes. In the war, they cracked the codes against the Germans. So I had my grandfather's cousin worked in Bletchley Park. Okay, he was seconded by the RAF, and he worked with a very clever man. Very interesting story. So it's just the story about MS, just a side story. He went to live in Israel when he was about 19, and he lived in Emek Rafon. I went to see him, he must have been about 91, and I asked him, I said, Uncle Louis, what did you do at Bletchley Park? He said, in 1940, I signed the Official Secrets Act. I can't tell you. He was a man of MS his whole life, so he never told anybody what he did. But there in Bletchley Park, when the people went to work there, because it was so secret, and many people attribute a lot of what happened in the war to that, they took the people, each person who came into work in Bletchley Park was taken into a room, a dark room, and the officer held a gun to the head and said, if you say one word of what you do, each person worked in a separate act so they shouldn't talk. And he said, if you say one word of what you do here, we'll shoot you. That's what they told them. And that was Me'aymin. So you could be Me'aymin. So is there an idea? This is something which possibly could work in a base thing. The polygraph could be used to encourage a person to say the truth, whether it's one of the Balei Din or whether it's one of the Adim. In other words, to say to them, we'll put you through the polygraph. Please, why don't you go through the polygraph? If you believe that you're telling the truth, go through the polygraph. And then we'll make a decision. And if the person says, no, I don't want to, okay, we can't force them to, but if they did, then it's a different thing. So maybe in that context, it would be a method, not of actually what they're saying what they're saying is true, but as a method of digging out the person just to see if they're telling the truth or not in their own way. They'll come to themselves and say, look, I don't want to do that, and I've changed my mind because I'm a bit scared about it. Is there such a possibility? That seems to me that may be a point where it could be used. Because especially, in more serious cases, the possibility where there's a dispute over actual evidence, that could be a possibility. Okay, another interesting one is the story of Rava. So this is in Kisuvas. Okay, so it's on page 4. Gemara Kisuvas says, there was a certain woman who was in the town of Rava, and she was obligated to take an oath to avoid certain payment. So the daughter of Rav Kisda, who was Rava's wife, said to her husband, it's interesting, the Gemara puts that in, says she said to her husband, I know she is suspect with regard to taking a false oath. I know this person, she's dodging. So what did Rava do? Rava reversed the obligation of the oath so that it fell onto the other party, because he thought she was not telling, she wouldn't tell, she'd make a false oath. Therefore he put the obligation on the other person, which basically definitely had the power to do. We found that example in Rava Kama. Yeah, but now has the option of taking an oath that the woman owes him money and collecting his debt. Okay? So the question is, how could Rava do that? Right? How can he do that? Because it's the same thing. Because his wife had told him that this woman was dodgy, therefore he could switch the rules. So Rav Papa says, now Rava has said, I know with certainty, that this is a significant matter, if a judge knows someone is telling the truth, although under normal circumstances his testimony would be admissible, yeah, in this case, it does have a certain legal validity. So What's the status? How could Rama do that? So some make a difference between where you know personally, where somebody knows personally, where they're based in know. Okay? Also, that's been in my notes. It's clear that's been in my notes. And also, because it's about the Shavua itself, right? It's about the Shavua. Some also, I read somewhere, someone suggests that also there's an Indian Ivar as well. If you know somebody who's going to make a false Shavua, and the absolute determined, maybe there's an extra layer to that, saying that you shouldn't encourage somebody to make a false Shavua, therefore it's better to switch the Shavua to the other person. So it may not be such a strong, idea, but nevertheless, we see there that question was raised, how could Rava do that, from reliance on his wife? That may be, as I say, different from something which is the whole Beis Din. Something for the whole Beis Din, and the Beis Din can see something plainly with the eyes, right? That's obviously, today, I mean, it comes to the question like CCTV as well, you see something which is plainly in front of you, you can't ignore that in general circumstances. So, how far it touches into that area or not is a question. I'm not here to decide the question, but just understanding the issue. Okay, so let me also share with you the Gemara about Shlomo HaMelech. So there's a Gemara about Shlomo HaMelech, which is the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, it's discussing all the Nevi'im and the days of Chodesh and all that. And the Gemara says, considering Shlomo HaMelech. So we know the story of Shlomo HaMelech with the women, the two women that came to him. One claim was the mother, this is my child, this is not my child. We know that discussion took place. And Shlomo HaMelech said, get a sword, kill the child, divide it into two. And that caused the woman who was really the mother to come forward and say, listen, I'll accept it, don't kill the child. So he decided the case. What is the basis for Shlomo HaMelech deciding that case? How could he do that? What's the Beis Din? Where is the Beis Din that decided the case? Was that Din in the Fashas? Maybe yes, maybe no. Some say that some of the Rishonim say that the women were related. It was the mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, and there was a question of Yibum, and the daughter-in-law didn't want to wait for the Yibum, for the child, etc., etc. A lot of background to that story. But how could Shlomo HaMelech make a ruling of that nature? It's clever. It's clever. We all admire it. Non-Jews admire it. Solomonic wisdom, they call it, right? The great wisdom of Solomon. But what is
the woman agreed afterwards?
Sorry?
Once he said that.
Yeah. Oh. So it's a tool. That's what I'm saying. It's a tool to bring out the truth. Right, that's what he was using. What would have happened if that hadn't happened? We learnt it now, I'm not sure, a few years ago. What would have happened if she hadn't come up? Would he have killed the baby? No, probably not. No, probably wouldn't have done that. I can't imagine that he would have done. But what the Gemara says over there was very interesting. It says there, Big Hesh Kaheles Nipso Dibre Chayfetz. Referring to Shlomo HaMelech. Big Hesh Kaheles Lodon Din Shabalei. Shlomo HaMelech wanted to make halachas. This is how I see it. He's a clever person, he understands, he can see through. Maybe he had in his head a polygraph in his head, he could understand when someone was lying. Shaloi ba'edim v'shaloi ba'hasra. So the Gemara says, the ox of Asko v'omram says, v'chosul divrei yoshet, v'chosul yoshet divrei ames. Al-pishnayim edim yokum davar. But you can't do that. In general, you show a minute. Warwick suggests that he would have gone further with other types of cases and taken it into different stages and done decided cases according to his own estimation. No, you can't do that. It's got to be Ashram. That's one of the things that the Sitz Eliezer refers to you can see clearly from that Gemara, you can't use other things. Unless you're doing it in the context of trying to persuade people to come up with the truth rather than actually, when they said something, to decide. So am I saying, like the first case we dealt with, a woman who was suspected of being unfaithful or whatever, so he said like this, am I deciding that she was or she wasn't a sotah or does something wrong? No. Am I trying to see whether she herself will come forward and say, yeah, maybe. Maybe that's a possibility, use it in a different way. Okay, so that's the basic idea of the subject. So the truth, like I said, the truth is that the Bosid Din generally do not rely on the polygraphs. They rely on DNA more than polygraphs. Generally, but there are cases when they may entertain the idea for a certain specific reason. Yeah, but it would be very, very limited. So there's also something else that you can throw into this. I've seen suggestions, a suggestion, that today many cases in Basting work through, certainly here in England, who work through where the parties go and they sign the Stavre are in, and they agree to accept the authority of the Basting in a much more wider way. So the beginning of the transmission body has that whole thing there where the dialogue can use various different, they can make shoros and they can look at things and try and come to things in a general way of sorting a problem out without actually having to apply the strict letter of that. So if people come to the Basting and say, we accept the authority of the Basting, and then the Basting, I'm just a suggestion, that, and then people say, the Basting say, well, would you take a polygraph test because this is part of our process, right? We can't force you to, that's for sure, we can't force you to. But would you accept to do that? Why not? Personally, then the Basting can say that. Potentially, that's part of the process of the bureauing, of establishing the case. And if they don't want to, they don't have to, no one can force them to do so. So that's more or less where the subject lies. It's still very much ongoing. But the halakha pasuka is the Basting can't force. So if somebody was brought into Basting and asked, you know, and the other party said, we want you to do a polygraph, the Basting cannot, according to halakha, they cannot, according to the Basting, they can't force anyone to do it. Neither an aide, nor one of the parties, not possible to do so. Okay. So anything else? This is really interesting. Yes, that. Okay. Yes. Just another point. This is quite interesting. The idea of using it for a different kind of investigation when it's not about, maybe it's not about two people fighting each other. So Basting have a power of investigation. In most courts in England, in most European countries, the courts don't investigate. The courts, either in civil cases, the parties bring the cases, and they've done all the preparation investigation. Yeah, and then the Basting, the court decides based on the criminal court, the prosecution bring the case, the defence bring the case. The court judge doesn't normally order this or this to be done. That's up to the parties to do it because they have to prove the case. Okay, but Basting have wide, they have powers to go and call for people to come, ask for witnesses. They don't always have to, but they can ask for people to come. Okay, so maybe again, there's a suggestion, if the Basting themselves are trying to find out what happened. So this may not be a case involving two parties. This may be a case involving where they don't know what's happened in a certain situation. It could be, I'm just thinking, back in the DNA, but similar kind of situation, somebody, a husband, a wife, know what's happened to him, those kind of things. People come and say they saw this, they're not sure what they saw. Then, as an investigative part of the Basting, not necessarily a contentious, not when they're fighting each other, but just as an investigation for Basting to find out. Yeah, I can just imagine a scenario. There was that thing a few years ago with the potatoes just before Pesach. There was some problem that went out for the whole community. There was some potatoes that were produced and they had some chomet, so they sent out a message to that. Thousands of people saying, don't use these potatoes for Pesach, okay? Because they couldn't, it was the Robin Lunder of Schneeberg, I think, sent out the message, yeah? And it was just, everybody tried to contact their communities, don't use this flour on this potato flour, don't use the potato flour on Pesach. So imagine there was a situation where there was a cashless situation, where there's a factory, and we're trying to establish, did something get into this? You've got thousands of products that have been made, and we're trying to find out, the guy, it says he was, we're not sure whether he was telling the truth or not. He may not remember the guy who operated the machinery or put the product in. Yeah. So basically, you need to find out what happened. We're not sure what happened. So maybe in that case, they could use it as one of their means of establishing what happened, not as a case one person against the other. We need to know what happened because we need to know, is this kosher? Is it not kosher? And did the guy who's there, the manager or the product production line manager, did he make a mistake? Did he can't remember himself? Tell him the story, sit him in the polygraph and see, and that part of the whole picture the Basting will take, that will be part of the picture. That's something that possibly, that it's not one against the other, it's just finding out what happened, maybe that kind of case could be used. Okay.